People of God, would you please turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, if you're using the Black Pew Bible there in front of you or underneath you if you're in the front or back rows, this is on page 569, 569. We'll also have the text on the screen. Isaiah 5, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. 1 through 7, Isaiah 5, page 569, also on the screen. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? At home too, if you're able, would you stand with us for the reading of God's Word? Isaiah 5, page 569, I'll read verses 1 through 7. Isaiah chapter 5, this is the word of the Lord. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it, and he looked for it to yield grapes. But it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray and give thanks to him now for it. Indeed, Father, thank you for your word and that you're pleased to speak to us through it, even to prune us by it. And so, Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand. Cause us here in your word to know you more, that we might love you better, all so that we might love like you love. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? As we begin this morning, friends, I want to ask, what fruit does your life produce? What fruit does your life produce? If we were to each imagine ourselves as trees or vines or some kind of fruit-bearing plant, and if we thought about our interactions with one another, with the people around us as a kind of gathering or gleaning fruit from each other, what kind of fruit does your life produce? You see, the Bible consistently comes back to this image of fruit-bearing plants to describe people and their character and the consequences of their faith or lack of faith. And so a couple of easy examples. This morning Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. The Apostle Paul describes the work of the Holy Spirit in his people in this way. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Right? These are images all designed to describe our character, our lives, and especially the impact that we have on the people around us in our interaction. So what kind of fruit does your life produce? In our text this morning in Isaiah 5, some scholars actually think Isaiah may have sung this in a public setting, come into the street and actually sing out loud the song about the vineyard, a love song of expectation. But it's also an ironic song in which the expected fruit turns out not to be lush, sweet grapes for a good vintage, but sour grapes, inedible, not good. And in the end, we see it's a song actually about the people of God, a song designed to call God's people to bear good and plentiful fruit. And it's this song that is our focus this morning. As we look at this call to bear good and plentiful fruit, we see in Isaiah's songs this: the Lord expects fruit, The Lord provides for us to bear that fruit. And the Lord also judges bad fruit. The Lord expects fruit, provides for us to bear fruit, and judges bad fruit. So, people of God, heed this call to bear fruit, good fruit, plentiful fruit. Let's begin this morning with the Lord expects fruit. And we see this all throughout these first verses of the text. Isaiah 5, verses 1 and 2, it begins with a man planting a vineyard. And it seems that he does everything right. He does everything according to the book, everything necessary to have a really good harvest. And we're going to look at that here in just another moment. But we have to remember that this is a process. Right? It's not like you plant grapes and you wake up the next morning and all of a sudden you have a beautiful, lush vineyard, right? It takes time. And often not until the third year that you really see fruit of your labors. And so in the meantime, while he's waiting for this fruit, look what the gardener does. This is verse 2. He builds a watchtower, this gathering of stones and setting them up and building them together. Remember, there's no tractors, right? There's no mechanical help here. This is real hard work. He makes a wine vat, right? Again, it could be made of stone or wood or clay, but this is major labor-intensive work. He expects to be here for the long term. He's putting down roots here, a permanent residence, a ready wine vat. Verse 5 suggests double walls around the vineyard and the residency. All of this points toward this eager expectation that this land is going to produce good fruit, a good vintage for a good long time. And that's how this verse ends, Isaiah 5, verse 2. He looked for it to yield grapes. Good grapes, lush grapes, sweet grapes. This is the expectation of fruit. We learn at the end of the passage that this is a song about God's people, right? The vineyard is the house of Israel and the people of Judah. We learn this expected fruit is their interactions with each other. Verse 2, he looked for it to yield grapes. Parallel language comes down in verse 7. He looks for them to yield justice and righteousness. That's all about our interaction with each other. This is the expected fruit from God's people, that they will deal with one another according to what's right. That's righteousness, right? According to what pleases the Lord, according to what he's revealed to us in his word is good in our dealings with one another. He expects that his people will deal with each other fairly, justly, rightly, with justice and righteousness. That's good fruit. The New Testament actually picks up this language of fruit-bearing to describe the expected character and behavior of followers of Jesus. It's what the Apostle Paul says. We talked about this briefly. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes this, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Well, it's love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Spirit of God in God's people produces good spiritual fruit, especially in our interactions with one another. And so even here, just listing this fruit from Galatians chapter 5, it does prod us again to ask, doesn't it? What fruit does your life produce? When people interact with you, if you're a fruit-bearing plant and our interactions with one another are people harvesting fruit from our lives, when people interact with you, what fruit do they get? Right? Whether it's your brother or your sister at home, teens with your parents, spouses with one another. How about your coworkers? Or that guy who cut you off on your way to work or to school? Or when a referee blows a call? Right? When people interact with you, what fruit do they taste from your life? Do they get that sweet, lush fruit of the Spirit? Or the sour grapes of the flesh? What fruit does your life produce? It's interesting here because the Bible is clear the Lord does indeed actually expect us to bear good fruit. That's the expectation of this song of the vineyard. The planter expects his vineyard will bear forth good grapes, especially in the interactions with one another. And over in the Bible, we see this expectation, right? If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. Romans 12, if you belong to the Lord, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. James writes, faith by itself, if it doesn't have good works, that is, if it doesn't have good fruit, that faith is dead. The Lord expects his people to bear fruit. And so Jesus says in John 15, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. The evidence of faith in Jesus is bearing good and plentiful fruit. The Lord expects us to bear fruit. Because if the Holy Spirit's in us, if the Holy Spirit is in you, he can't not produce fruit, right? The Spirit has to produce fruit in us. It's who he is. It's what he does. Now, of course, right, just like this takes 3 years for grapes to come up, sometimes fruit is slower to emerge. Sometimes we go through seasons where the fruit maybe isn't as obvious. But if you're a follower of Jesus, if the Spirit of the Lord is in you, then you will eventually bear good fruit. The Lord expects fruit. And the key to bearing fruit actually is to abide in the Lord. If the Spirit produces fruit, as both Jesus and the Apostle Paul say, if the Spirit produces fruit, then we must abide in that Spirit of the Lord in order to bear good and plentiful fruit. And so our text reminds us, not only does the Lord expect fruit, he also provides for us to bear fruit. The Lord provides for that fruit. I read through Isaiah 5, especially these first couple of verses. The images through this song are all images of intentionality, right? The gardener picks fertile soil, right? The choicest of land, verse 1 tells us, rich, rich, fertile soil. And he digs the land and he clears it of stone. He's doing everything to make sure nothing hinders the growth of these vines. And then he picks out the choicest vines to plant, right? These aren't bargain bin leftovers. These aren't clearance aisle seeds. This is the cream of the crop, the best of the vines. And this is what he plants. Now, to be clear, we shouldn't look here, right, for one-to-one correspondence with God's work of drawing his people in or looking for specific historical references for the people of Israel. This is an illustration, right? It's a song designed to paint a picture to describe that the Lord has done everything for his people. Indeed, verse 4, the Lord says, what else could be done? Right? The planter, the gardener, has done everything, every opportunity, every means, every care, so that his vineyard would produce good grapes. And I take here a reminder to us, a reminder that everything that we need in order to follow Jesus and bear good and plentiful fruit, everything we need, the Lord has provided for us. In fact, the Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, he says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who calls us to his own glory and excellence. Listen, friends, followers of Jesus, sisters and brothers, God has provided you everything that you need in order to grow into bearing good and plentiful fruit. At the beginning of our worship service, we address this just briefly. In our theological tradition, we call these things, these provisions from God for our faith, we call them the means of grace, the means by which God gives his people nourishing, nurturing grace so that we might grow and flower and flourish and bear good and plentiful fruit. And the means of grace include especially your one-on-one time every day alone with the Lord. Sitting with him in his word, listening to him, praying to him, communing with him in your time with his word. It includes those more seasonal, intentional times of pursuing him. Fasting, Bible studies, going to conferences like the Gospel Coalition, the Sing Conference, this women's event on the 12th of November. And it includes particularly our weekly gathering together, right? Worship. The word of God read and prayed and sung and preached. It includes this table, right? Listen, friends, again, we keep saying this. If this table doesn't do anything, there's no reason to eat and drink it every week, is there? But if it's a means of grace, if eating and drinking together actually feeds and nourishes our faith, strengthens us so we might bear fruit, then we need to do everything we can to be here and to take part of this table all the time. That's what the means of grace are. They enrichen the soil in our hearts. They water and feed our faith, nourishing it, because these are the means by which we abide in the vine so that we might bear good and plentiful fruit. That's what it means to abide in Jesus. To abide in the vine, it means to spend time with him, to take advantage of everything that he's given to us for life and godliness so we might bear good and plentiful fruit. Abide in the vine, friends. Take advantage of the means of grace. Lean into all that the Lord has provided for us so we might bear good and plentiful fruit. Because the Lord has indeed given us everything we need for life and godliness, everything we need to bear good and plentiful fruit, because the Lord provides for us to bear fruit. He expects that fruit from us. He provides for us to bear that fruit. And it's actually then for this reason that the song then turns really sharply in our text. He expects it. He provides for this fruit to be born in the lives of his people. But when he looked for fruit, behold, only bad fruit. Not this good, lush fruit he expected. And so as the text turns, as the song turns, we see the Lord judges bad fruit. The Lord judges bad fruit. This actually is the main point of our text. It's this song about the vineyard. The Lord looks for good fruit. He looks for good grapes. But instead, he finds wild grapes. Now, some of you are like, well, what's wrong with wild grapes, right? You've been walking through the forest. You've picked some wild berries, and sometimes they can be really tasty, can't they? But the word here at the end of verse 2, this point here of the wild grapes, is actually wild grapes can be really small and sour, bitter tasting, right? You're planting a vineyard. You want a good vintage of wine. They're looking for lush, sweet, good fruit. And instead he finds these itty-bitty, bitter grapes. Instead, they're not good. They're not good for anything. This bad fruit, it's highlighted at the end of our text in this wordplay where it says the Lord looked for justice and instead he found bloodshed. He looked for righteousness and instead found an outcry. And it's actually really beautiful in the text because these words together sound really similar. And that similar sounding of the words highlights this profound irony and sorrow. So if you have your Bibles open, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7, you should have a footnote there on the words bloodshed and outcry. And look down to the footnotes, and it says, right, these Hebrew words sound similar, right? In Hebrew, it says, the Lord looked for mishpat, but he found mishpah. These words sounded like, right, mishpat, mishpah. He looked for tzedakah, and he found tzedakah, right? These words, again, sound similar. Tzedakah, tzedakah, right? There's a word play here highlighting this discrepancy between the good fruit expected and the bad fruit found. And these words, they're really close together, but the fruit could not be farther apart. The Apostle Paul, he similarly juxtaposes good and bad fruit in Galatians 5. Right? Remember, we named that good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. But right before that, he names the bad fruit of the flesh. Let's listen to the Apostle Paul one more time. He describes the bad fruit of our natural selves, our sinful selves, our selves outside of Jesus Christ. The works of the flesh are evident, he writes. This is Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. It's painful here, but I think we have to keep asking ourselves, what fruit does your life produce? Especially in our interactions with one another. The Apostle Paul's list, it's really comprehensive, isn't it? I mean, it's got the big things, drunkenness and sexual immorality and orgies. It's also got some of the everyday things, doesn't it? Fits of anger. Do you ever lose your temper? Envy and jealousy. What happens in you when you hear about someone else's vacation or new car or trip to Europe, that burning feeling in your heart? Sensuality, the love of pleasure and self-indulgence. What kind of fruit does your life produce? And it's actually here where the song in our text in Isaiah, it really leans in. Verse 5, I'll tell you what I'll do to my vineyard, the Lord says. I'll remove the walls and protections and let it be devoured. I'll let animals and invaders come in and trample it to the ground. I'll turn it into a wasteland, a barren place, a wilderness. Nothing's going to grow here. No one's going to tend it. It'll be empty, alone, a desolation. It's a hard word, isn't it? But actually, Jesus says the exact same thing in that passage where he says, I'm the vine and I'm the branches. In John 15, here's what Jesus says about bad fruit or no fruit. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the Father takes away. If anyone does not abide in me, Jesus says, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. That's that language of desolation, empty, alone. Jesus goes on to say, the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. The Lord judges bad fruit. And at this point, I imagine there are one of several things happening in each one of us this morning. I think for some of us here, we come to this text, the message, and our conscience is pricked, right? We're looking at our lives. I'm looking at my life. I hope you're looking at your life, and we're evaluating our fruit. What do people walk away with when they interact with me? How do people experiencing? What kind of fruit comes out of my life in my relationships? Where does my life still produce that bad fruit? How can I produce more fruit? If that's you this morning, friends, I encourage you just lean right into that. Keep spending time in our text. Spend time in Galatians 5. Take confidence, actually, in God's pruning work so that you might bear more and better fruit. Prune away those things that keep you from abiding in the Lord. Cultivate those things that help you abide more in the Lord and bear more and good fruit. This is one of the responses for others here. Maybe your doubt has been triggered. I know texts like this often, and many of us, they touch those places of doubt in our hearts, and we start to wonder, do I really belong? Am I really the Lord's? Is there any evidence in my life of faith at all? And if that's you this morning, here's my encouragement to you. Take some time today to just sit down and look back over your life. Have you seen any change in your life at all? No matter how small. Any benefit, any growth from belonging to Jesus, any movement at all of moving toward Jesus and away from those things of the old self, the old nature, the natural self outside of Jesus. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit in God's people that produces good fruit. The Holy Spirit can't not produce good fruit. And so if the Spirit is in you, there will eventually be some evidence of his presence. It might take a while. It might be small, but it will still be there. And look for those shoots in your life. Look for those budding evidences of fruit. And if you're doubting this morning and you can see some of those buds, take confidence in the Lord and lean into it. Cultivate the soil. Cultivate that vineyard of your life by drawing near to Jesus through the means of grace. Every week, attending to the Word of God and to His people, gathering around His table. Every day, spending time alone with Jesus, reading His Word, talking to Him in prayer, listening to Him as He speaks to your heart. Cultivate the vineyard of your faith so that you grow even more visible, more evident, more plentiful fruit in your life. I think that's another response this morning. The third is this. If you look at your life and you look back through your life and you don't see any evidence at all, if your life is mostly those sour grapes of that long list from the Apostle Paul, if your life hasn't shown any spiritual growth at all, any movement toward Jesus, any movement toward good fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Here's the call to you. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus and ask Him to give you faith. Run to Jesus and ask Him to give you His Spirit. Ask Him to make you part of His vineyard, lest you be abandoned to your destruction. left alone, a waste, a desolation, cut off and cast out. Because that's the tragic song of Isaiah chapter 5. It's a call to bear good, plentiful fruit because the Lord expects fruit. And the Lord actually provides everything we need to bear good fruit. But it's also a warning. Bear good and plentiful fruit because the Lord will judge bad fruit and fruitlessness. Will you pray with me? Father, as we move out of this part of hearing from your word into your table where we receive more from your word, we pray, God, that you would continue to work in our hearts. If there are those here who look back at their lives and know they don't belong and see no evidence of belonging to you at all, would you give them faith? Would you make them part of your vineyard lest they be cut off and cast into the fire? For those this morning, Father, whose doubt has been triggered again, who wonder and question, God, would you give them confidence that even this asking and questioning is evidence of the work of your Spirit? Would you help them to see even those small buds, those small evidences of fruit in their life, that they might have confidence in your Spirit, but also be emboldened to cultivate more the soil of their lives for spiritual growth? For all of us this morning, would you help us to see those places that need to be pruned away, and those places where we can cultivate more and better fruit? Would you do that even now as we draw near to your table? Would you give us grace, Holy Spirit, that we might bear fruit and bear it abundantly? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.